I want to ask you, because when we saw the pictures of this so-called scandal in Iraq, the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, naked prisoners, bags on their heads, shock treatments,
sexual abuse,
yeah. systemic happening in all of the prisons. I want to ask you first what your personal thoughts were as soon as those pictures, when you first saw those pictures,
came to your mind? It didn't surprise me at all, because I had seen the same identical thing and worse. Worse forms of torture, and had been a victim of worse forms of torture than that. But had seen identical sexual abuse, shock treatment, beatings, and sustaining in positions for long periods of time at the threat of being killed. I'd seen worse than that. I told you I had seen brothers who were militant that went to Clinton Denamoro RX program. You showed any form of resistance, they took you up before these neo-Nazi doctors in this clinic in upstate New York, just across the Montreal border, and they would perform frontal lobotomies on you. They would cut out your frontal lobe and turn you into a zombie. Nobody's ever cried about that. Nobody's ever looked into that. Those were worse conditions than Abu Ghraib, than Guantanamo Bay. I'm immune to it, personally, because I lived through it. When I see it, I say, well, that's just their MO, mode of operation.
Rule by terror.
It's exactly what it is. It's a rule by terror.
In order to control a prison population that's larger, you described a couple of scenes where you had the guards completely surrounded. You had the complete power, even though you were inside a cage.
Yes.
The rule by terror is fundamental in their continuing their form of power.
Now, and that's a great point, because years after Attica, but it slowly, the impact that we had begun to slowly diminish, because the United States began to privatize the prison industry predominantly through the Wackenhut, George Wackenhut, and the privatizing prisons. And we've gone from 750 prisons to now we're into 2,400 some prisons, man, run by Wackenhut. Across the board, Wackenhuts are the same people that acted as security agency that took mustard gas that was produced out of Florida, sent over to Texas, run up to Chicago, and then out of the port from Maryland, the Boston Maryland Harbor, and Baltimore Harbor, and sent over to Iraq in order to kill Kurds, and then they wonder where the weapons of mass destruction is. So you see, and then you got Fortune 500 saying today that the best investment any stockholder can make, any shareholder could have, is the shares inside of the prison industry, because it's the number one growth industry in the country. So what we've done is we're making trillions of dollars in exploitations of a contemporary form of plantation slavery inside these penal systems, and they're nothing less than concentration camps, and yet the rest of the world is like, what's happening? What's going on? Nobody really seems to care anymore. So they've been able to, by killing the resistance at Attica, by killing four students at Kent State, by killing any opposition or criminalizing any form of dissent, they are rapidly throwing us back into a state of submissiveness to nothing less than the rise of a totalitarian fascist military state.
Are you in contact with people inside? And tell us maybe what people inside are saying to this, because there must be a reaction within the prison population to this privatization and to this expanding super prison reality. Tell us maybe what you know from people on the inside.
I have some contacts with people that are known political prisoners, some like Jeffrey Lores. He's doing 22 years for in Oregon State Prison right now. He's doing 22 years, a young guy, for burning up three SUVs. And he's doing 22 years for it. And so through the anarchist Break the Chains Collective, I've been working with them, and I'm in contact with a lot of people through this organization. I write to Marilyn Buck, who was one of the Resistance Six. She was actually one of Sam Melville's partners in the Weather Underground. So I stay in contact with her because she's dying from cancer. But yet she is a valiant, powerful fighter. She's still struggling. So she's in a prison down in California, and I write to her from time to time. And really what it is what they've done is they've created these incredible maximum security, maxi security prisons, that it's like if you show any form of dissent any dissent in any of the regular state prisons or federal prisons, you're sent to these maxi units that are complete mind control units. And what they are basically is they throw you into a region where you're locked down all the time in a complete form of sensory deprivation to blow your mind and make you go crazy. So you see what we've got? We've got a total lockdown society, and a lot of the people out there still, I mean, I read all the prison journals. One of the best journals I read is from a brother that did a number of years in time. He was a political prisoner by the name of Ed Meade. He was with the George Jackson Brigade, and Ed puts out a newsletter, prison newsletter, every month, and it's writings from people on the inside. So it's all the same stuff. And it's all the same kind of organizing, except that there's really is another intense repression from anybody that is trying to organize, once again, the rest of the prison population, the prison class.
What do you say to people who are on the inside when you've spent it, you've seen the worst of the worst, and now you're outside?
I say keep going. Keep fighting. Don't stop. Because while you're organizing out there, we're organizing out here. You see, I mean, I've never stopped giving up. And I'm just barely making it day to day. I've got children to take care of. I've got absolutely very little income. And I'm trying to survive the whole repressive economic situations out here to survive. And yet I'm out there trying to speak everywhere I can speak, talk where I can talk, inspire people to resist, inspire people to change this thing. You know, not to take some cosmetic changes and be satisfied with that. There has to be a complete overhaul of the system. That's why I'm such a vehement defender of the sovereignty of my people in unsurrendered Indian lands, because from there we still have a basis of control, of a certain amount of control in our own economic development, our own stability for creating economic avenues for survival, as well as we have land base and we have the right to defend ourselves against further encroachment, which is even being threatened by the genocidal policies and forces of the United States government and Canada.
What do they say to you from the inside? What do they say to you on the outside?
Well, you know something? I'll tell you what they say to me. They say, right on, brother. You know what? We're just really glad. And of all the 33 years that you've been out here in this fight, right, you've never sold out. And for me, when I can look in the mirror and say to myself, yeah, you've never sold out. Because I see so many people that can be bought off for a price. And that's the only way that they can maintain control, is when a determined people or determined resistance leaders can be bought off. And then, of course, the general population can be made into a snitch factory. Eventually, it's going to happen on a worldwide scale. We're going to see a worldwide intifada is what we're going to see. We're going to see worldwide prison rebellions. When it really breaks here, the next go-round, it's going to break in a tremendous way, because there's going to be other economic factors, social factors that are going to cause for the collapse of capitalism, and we're going to see mass resistance all over the world. Just because if you take the microcosmic aspect of what happened at Attica, it just happened spontaneously. And you'd be surprised how intelligent all of us are as the oppressed, watching the institutions of power collapse before us. Well, we help make them collapse. But we have to bring it down, because it's killing us, it's killing our children, it's killing the future, it's killing the planet. And they have to be brought to order. And we are that order. We make the order that we want. We have a duty to bring it down. I mean, we can sit back and watch what's going on in Afghanistan, Iraq. We know that the Empire Man had nothing, but there was no weapons of mass destruction over there. What was over there basically was oil and gas. They've reached peak oil, they've reached peak gas, which means they've only got 15 years supply worth, and the U.S. and the superpowers and the oligarchies of the world had to seize control of those resources. And they also, at the same time, they had to defend the value of the U.S. dollar against the euro. So you see, we're heading some very dangerous times. We're watching capitalism collapse on itself. It can't sustain itself. And the only way it can sustain itself is through a war economy. And even that, we looked at the Bush administration, it's just literally trashed the treasury. Trillions of dollars have just literally been just trashed. And jobs and health care and social benefits, man, for the people are just completely, people are just completely going under unemployment. You know, there's one simple revolutionary axiom that every human being must understand. that if you're hungry and you're starving, you will do whatever it takes to eat. That's what it boils down to.